Today on Undivided, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. First, the state of Washington investigating We Heart Seattle for, checks notes, picking up used needles from parks, and negative headlines about me ramp up as we get closer to the November election. Plus, the Seahawks sign a new player who could be spending the rest of his life in prison. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Give me something to break. Give me something breakable. Nicole, I demand dishes. I'm rolling up my sleeves today. I do mean it. I want to smash something. I think it would feel... I either need to shoot guns at inanimate objects, or I need to go to one of those places where they let you just break shit. That's what I need right now. I've never seen anything like this. There is a full-on conspiracy among Democrats in the state of Washington to take down literally anyone and any entity that is having any success, making any inroads in chipping away at the utter nonsense of one-party rule in Washington. So you, of course, know our friends at We Heart Seattle. We Heart Seattle is a volunteer citizen organization, a nonprofit that goes out there and does what the government has failed to do in Seattle. They clean up needles, they clean up trash, they clean up parks, they clean up homeless encampments. They put their lives on the line to go out there with Andrea Suarez, the founder and president of We Heart Seattle, and to try to beautify our city that has become grotesque because of failed policies. They literally go out there and pick up, at great peril to themselves, needles that have been used to inject fentanyl, foil that's been used to cook drugs, much of it handed out by government entities who bought it with your money. And Andrea has been very outspoken about the so-called harm reduction. Oh, let's give people the stuff they need to do the drugs that will eventually kill them. And what does Andrea Suarez get for those efforts? An investigation by the state of Washington. The Department of Labor and Industries notifying Andrea Suarez via the Division of Occupational Safety and Health that they are investigating her for improper handling. How do I even say this with a straight face? Improper handling and collection of hypodermic needles and fentanyl paraphernalia. I am speechless. Do we understand how evil and stupid this is? If Andrea wasn't out there, if volunteers with We Heart Seattle weren't out there picking up those needles, clearing those parks, picking up that foil, you know what would happen to it? The kids would pick up the needles at the parks. The dogs would step on the needles. You would step on the needles and infect yourself with God only knows what, because the city isn't cleaning them up. The city isn't doing this work. So because Andrea Suarez and her group of volunteers decides to go out there, and very safely, might I add, because I've done cleanups with them before, dispose of the drug needles that the government is handing out, the government is investigating them for not quite doing it right. That's the allegation, at least. And this isn't about cleaning up the needles. This is about Andrea Suarez has dared to speak out. She's dared to speak out about the failure of Housing First. She's dared to speak out about the horrible drug policies. She has dared to speak out about harm reduction and handing needles and foil and boofing kits to drug addicts. And so she's being punished. This is a punishment. So she has to hire an attorney. She has to spend money. She has to spend time fighting a complaint from LNI that could result in a fine because she decided to go pick up the used needles before they killed someone and hurt a kid, killed your dog. That's what we're using our government bureaucracy for, is to go after someone who's actually making a difference. It is one of, look, I'm going to talk about the lawfare attacks on me in a moment. Those are almost more understandable than this. You know, I get it. I'm a talking head. I'm a thorn in their side. But I mean, Andrea Suarez, what is her crime? Loving her city, picking up trash, picking up needles. And again, might I remind you that, again, it says improper handling of collection of hypodermic needles and fentanyl paraphernalia. What is that fentanyl paraphernalia, the drug paraphernalia? They're complaining she's not picking up correctly. Well, it's the very things that King County and state government and the city of Seattle hand out in their quote-unquote harm reduction kits. The pipes, the burners, the aluminum foil that they also, by the way, include handy little directions on how to make sure that you fold your aluminum foil correctly so you can do your drugs correctly. Now look, if there was some sort of legitimate case here, like, oh, Andrea's got a bunch of employees and she's forcing them to just pick up these needles with their bare hands and it's dangerous. Like, look, yeah, there's got to be safety involved, which there is. We'll get to that momentarily. But as Andrea pointed out on X, she took pictures of a BioClean company that is contracted officially with the city of Seattle to clean up these needles. Here's pictures of the lady doing it with her bare hands. So, is there a complaint against that contractor, BioClean Inc.? No, there's just a complaint against Andrea Suarez of We Heart Seattle, who, as you watch the video we just showed you, they're out there with gloves, with personal protective equipment. They're doing it with pinchers that separate their hand about 5 feet from the needles. And the lady who's contracted with the city, she's got her old lady with her bare old hand. But it's Andrea who's facing the investigation from the Department of Labor and Industries? If you think that this is anything except lawfare to make her life miserable, I don't know why you're watching this show. Because clearly nothing is going to get through to you. Of course, we asked Andrea Suarez to come on the show with us today to respond to this utter nonsense. Andrea, I don't know if anything's ever made me as mad as this. How'd you find out about this?
There was an email from the state, and it's kind of scary at first, Brandy. I mean, I'm a one employee organization. We make a nickel scream. We're out there picking needles. I don't have resources to create this long list of documents that they wanted. So yeah, at first, you know, you get scared when you see something like that. You think, you know, what am I doing wrong? And stresses us out. It stresses out our two other guys that are payrolled through our second chance employer, Uplift Northwest, who is also under investigation as well.
Wow. So do you know who made the complaint?
No, at this point, it's confidential to me, so I don't know if it's public records available for it or not. Mm-hmm. I know there's some folks that are inquiring about that, but I asked around. I'm like, man, did somebody get upset at a litter pick? Like, what's going on? We don't have any record of anybody like getting poked or something like that. Knock on wood. I mean, we, of course, first and foremost, have a safety plan. We do a safety orientation. We have people sign waivers. We have gloves, pinchers, vests. In fact, Brandy, we picked up so many needles in prior years before fentanyl came into fold that they ran out of those red sharp container boxes at the needle exchange. Yeah. That's how rampant this issue was. And so we were putting them in whatever bucket we could find in good faith. We're just trying to get them out of the playgrounds, right?
Well, if you didn't do that, then yeah, kids would get jabbed with them. Dogs would get jabbed with them. Innocent people would get jabbed with them. So is that seemed to be the complaint that you weren't putting them in sharps containers because there were so many you needed 5 gallon buckets?
It was very vague. Improper handling of hypodermic needles and fentanyl paraphernalia, which of course is handed out by the county in vans in our parks. They literally come into our parks and hand out packages of this paraphernalia that we are picking up properly.
So they're not going to do anything about the people who are using it and distributing it, but the people who go out there and pick it up out of our parks and off our sidewalks, that's who they're going to go after.
I mean, they could have looked at this tip, this referral, and went, I mean, even the lady who we're working with, the claim adjuster or whatever, she said, this is a strange case. And I'm like, and that's why you would then go, there's nothing there, and not waste your time, which she said will now take a couple months to review everything and work with our provider that sends us temporary staffers. And, you know, they're having, you know, this is the Millionaires Club. This is the former Millionaires Club, Uplift Northwest, ran by Gina Hall. She's a Rotarian of the Year, you know, beloved civic servant as well. And she has to stop her operation as well to produce up 30 plus documents, you know, signed waivers, bloodborne pathogen documents, which we have actually. We actually have hazmat training certifications, but the length and time to do so is very hypocritical. I mean, what if you take your child to the merry-go-round and what's that person's training to remove the needle? Did they get their hep C shot and their certificate to be around all these needles and all these foils that we've been screaming from the mountain are all over our city now for years and years and years, and is only getting worse with fentanyl? And again, we, the city, the state, the county, are handing these things out in public places. So I'm going to use this tool, obviously, to raise some money, but also to get policy change to finally get, as San Francisco's doing, outlawing the distribution of foil and needles tent side and in parks. I mean, that for me is how I'm going to leverage this absolute egregious investigation.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm dealing with some lawfare by the party in power right now. Do you feel like that's what this is, that this is targeted, because you've been very vocal, especially as of late, about the harm reduction stuff?
I've been very vocal about it. Yeah. I think this is an attempt to slow me down, cost me money, affect my donor base. That's why we're asking for money at this time as a good time to give to We Heart Seattle to prove a point. That we're strong, we're doing good work, and no one's going to take us down. But it is something we're having to contend with, rather than doing the real work of being out there saving lives and picking up needles.
Yeah, I mean, there's no coincidences in stuff like this. I'm sure some activists have set you up for this. And the process is the punishment. But I'll tell you, when the lawfare first started against me in the spring, we had our single best month on Undivided of people coming forward and supporting our show. And so I think that We Heart Seattle is about to have the single best fundraising month it's ever had. How can people donate if they choose to do so?
Yeah, we've already raised several thousand dollars in less than 24 hours. Hundreds of new donors, most importantly. If you've never given even $5, $50, or $50,000, get yourself on the list at weheartseattle.org. That's .org. And you can donate stock. You may never cash out in your lifetime. Donor advised funds, checks, credit cards on our Bloomerang app. It's all there. Give us a call as well. We are putting the money back in the ground to gloves, boots, vests, basic needs for people going into treatment, case management that focus on people who use drugs. And currently, this, you know, crusade really to debunk and get the LEAD program to be redesigned. I mean, this might be one of our biggest accomplishments yet, is to finally get this failed program exposed and get people back to programs that are accountable, like parole officer check-ins. Totally different story. Didn't mean to throw it in here, but we're doing some incredible policy work. We got tenting banned in Tukwila by going down and testifying. We're, of course, in contact with the Housing Urban Development at the federal level, and working with Cicero, Manhattan, Discovery Institute, Project 42, Washington Policy Center. We are at those tables helping move the needle properly.
Move the needle properly. I just can't believe this is happening. I mean, I can. Nicole was laughing at me earlier. She's like, why are you acting surprised by this? And I don't know if it's surprise. It's more so anger, because I know what it's like to be targeted by these people with lawfare. I'll talk more about that in the next segment. But, you know, Andrea Suarez going out there and doing, honestly, disgusting work. Work nobody wants to do. And the government clearly didn't want to do it either, even though it has billions of dollars to handle this kind of stuff. And you're going to wrap her up in an investigation by the Department of Labor and Industries because she's not picking up, allegedly, the needles that you hand out to drug addicts in the way that you would like them picked up. Because you don't want them picked up. You just want them to sit there so a kid can pick it up or a dog can step on it and die. It is sick, sick stuff. So we have Andrea's back. She's not in this alone. I know you have Andrea's back. And all sane people are going to start to wake up to the abuse that the party in power is putting dissidents through. This is what happens when you enter authoritarianism. There is a price to pay for being a dissident. And Andrea is now seeing, and she has for several years, seen the price of personal attacks, of lawfare now that comes with dissenting from the people in power. More on that coming up next. First, I'm always trying to save you guys money because I ask you for money. I'm like, support our show. And so I got to try to save you money somehow on the back end. First Mark Insurance, our wonderful advertisers, they save undivided viewers and listeners hundreds of dollars a month. I mean, they saved Mike and I $2,000 on our renewal this year. And I'm putting it towards our annual Florida vacation, which I'm very excited about. So, you know, we all need insurance. Maybe you've had the same insurance company for a while and you're like, I don't know, I just set it and forget it. Don't set it and forget it. Reach out to First Mark Insurance, take the First Mark Challenge, and just get a second opinion. That's really all it is. They go out, they shop their market of carriers for you, come back with their recommendations, and they could say, you know what? Yeah, you got great insurance. We can't top that. Or they'll say, hey, get good news. We could save you hundreds of dollars a month. We can get you better insurance than you have, or you're paying for insurance you don't even need, you silly, silly fool. They won't call you a fool, but I will. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. You could be the next First Mark Challenge victory. They've had over 11,000 of them. What are you waiting for? Your savings could start tomorrow. FirstMarkInsurance.com. All right. The lawfare against me continues, and I think it's only going to ramp up heading toward the November election. So I am minding my own business on a peaceful weekend, the rare moments of peace that I get in this insane state. And I look at my phone as I'm scrolling on X, and I start to see headlines about me. This from my former colleagues at Fox 13. Washington opens formal investigation into Let's Go Washington PAC, saying it failed to disclose advertising provided by political commentator Brandi Cruz. This from Cairo 7. Public Disclosure Commission investigating Let's Go Washington and Brandi Cruz. Now, technically, the investigation is into Let's Go Washington, and this stems from a complaint that was filed against Let's Go Washington a couple months ago that basically says that I'm not allowed to have an opinion about the initiatives, that my opinions are so valuable, in fact, that they must be reported by Let's Go Washington as an in-kind donation. Here's how Cairo 7 News covered this investigation into Let's Go Washington over the weekend.
Over allegations it failed to disclose political advertising from influencer Brandi Cruz.
Influencer.
This is a group opposing the millionaire's tax and transgender students competing on girls' sports teams. The complaint claims there were at least 159 instances of political advertising by Cruz. Washingtonians for Ethical Government, a group, tells Cairo 7 that work could be worth between $345,000 and $1.25 million that should have been reported as political contributions. Investigators can now gather documents, interview witnesses, and subpoena records. Let's Go Washington argues Cruz is a journalist, which could qualify her work for a media exemption. Though Cruz has publicly said several times in the past, I'm not a journalist, and has described herself as a commentator.
How many inaccuracies can you have in a 44-second news report? I mean, first of all, calling me an influencer is just, I don't know, to try to make me feel small and unimportant. I'm just an influencer. And then they say one of the initiatives bans trans athletes from girls' sports. No, it doesn't. Doesn't ban anyone except biological boys from girls' sports. The trans athletes can still play. And in fact, you could be trans male. And as long as you're a biological female, you could play in girls' sports. But they don't care about accuracy. You know what else they don't care about? Fairness. Being unbiased. Because you know who never reached out to me? Cairo 7 News. Fox 13. And I promise you, Fox 13 has my phone number. You know, I kind of worked there for 10 years. They did these lengthy stories, written stories, talking about this complaint from the position and the narrative, hook, line, and sinker given to them by the organization that filed the complaint. They never reached out to me for comment. And I found out they never reached out to Let's Go Washington for comment. And I'm blindsided by this, right? Because I'm like, well, I knew the PDC was looking into this. I didn't know they were launching a formal investigation for a complaint that has no merit whatsoever. And so initially, I'm kind of upset with my attorney. And I'm like, well, you know, why didn't you let me know that they were going to move into this phase? He's like, well, I didn't know. And then my attorney talks to Let's Go Washington's attorney. And Let's Go Washington also found out about this on the news. Which, what does that tell you? I promise you, the news media, again, I used to work in one of these newsrooms, they're not checking the Public Disclosure Commission for filings over the weekend. No, of course not. The left-wing organization that filed the complaint got a notice, turned around, probably got a heads up from one of their buddies, and put out a press release. And then the media is lazy as hell and biased as hell, and they hate Let's Go Washington, and they hate conservatives, and they hate me because I'm critical of them. So they put out hit pieces. And this is the second round of these hit pieces over a complaint that has zero merit whatsoever. Remember, the original complaint goes back to May 12th. Here was the press release that was put out. By Washingtonians for Ethical Government, Let's Go Washington failed to declare in-kind political advertising valued between $345,000 and $1.25 million from right-wing influencer Brandi Cruz. Now, it's sort of hard to follow, but they're saying that when every time I've given my opinion on a Let's Go Washington initiative, that's political advertising, and I should have charged for it, or if I'm not going to charge for it, I should report it. They should report it to the PDC as an in-kind political contribution. And that apparently, I've talked about the Let's Go Washington initiative so much, they think that I've given them up to $1.25 million in free political advertising. When in reality, it's just my free speech. It's my free speech. And this is my company. This is my show. This is my voice. And I get to use it however I see fit. I can support political candidates that I agree with. I can support political causes I agree with. And just because I have advertisers on this show does not mean that every word I utter must all of a sudden have a price assigned to it. And if anything, and I've said it a million times, I've never taken a dime, nor have I been offered. They've never even offered me money. I would have said no, but I've never been offered or taken a dime to support any of these initiatives, because who would need to be given money to say that boys aren't girls and they shouldn't be allowed in girls' sports? I don't need to be given money to say that the income tax is unconstitutional and should be repealed. I don't need to be given money to say that parents have rights and they don't lose those rights when they drop their kids off at a public school. These are my opinions. I have a First Amendment right to state them without being ground up in the bureaucracy of government and in a politically motivated attack. Now, the other thing, as obvious as this all is, that there's two things here. One, there is no case because in 2007, the state Supreme Court already ruled on this exact issue. Two radio hosts, Kirby Wilbur and our friend John Carlson, they were supporting an initiative. And the same thing happened. There was a complaint saying that if they support that initiative, that's an in-kind contribution. It went all the way to the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court in Washington, a liberal court looking at two conservative voices, ruled 8-0, unanimous ruling that no, that is their right as members of the press to be able to say that. That's not an in-kind contribution. So that it's a settled issue. And you can imagine the can of worms this would open up if all of a sudden they said anyone that expresses an opinion about a political issue or candidate all of a sudden is giving an in-kind contribution to a political committee. The other issue is the media refuses to be honest or to see, or maybe they do see, but they don't care because they want the same things. The motivations behind this complaint, it's so obvious. Look, the Public Disclosure Commission serves an important function: transparency and accountability in people engaged in the political process and political campaigns is important. That's a mission I share on this show as well. We're definitely watchdogs of government. But the PDC, unfortunately, is often abused by political forces for messaging purposes, so that in the middle of a campaign, they can have a headline like these out there saying, "Let's Go Washington engaged in shady business with right-wing influencer Brandi Cruz." And they can not only call Let's Go Washington into question in the court of public opinion, but they can call me into question in the court of public opinion. And I have one of the largest reaches, if not the largest reaches, of any certainly news personality in the state of Washington that covers Washington politics. They see that we're effective and they want to shut us up. So it's all about influencing the court of public opinion. And the media should be smart enough to recognize this. And the one thing the media will not do is tell their readers and viewers who is behind Washingtonians for Ethical Government. They just put it in there a million times. Oh, it's just this government watchdog group, which sounds great. Washingtonians for Ethical Government? I want ethical government too. But they just call it that for that very purpose, because it sounds really nonpartisan. but it's a shell organization for existing progressive entities. And it's really not that hard to find. So one of the owners of Washingtonians for Ethical Government is Andrew Villanueva, who is the founder of Northwest Progressive Institute, a progressive policy think tank that works in grassroots lobbying and that is opposed to the Let's Go Washington initiatives. So that's a really easy connection. Literally took 10 seconds to look that up on the Department of Revenue website to find out this troglodyte was tied to Washingtonians for Ethical Government. And it doesn't end there. The media knew at the very beginning of this charade, when they got an initial press release from Washingtonians for Ethical Government, the woman who sent it to them sent it from her powerhouse strategic email. The PR firm that handles Washingtonians for Ethical Government is Powerhouse Strategic, a progressive messaging firm led by Heather Weiner that opposes the initiatives that Let's Go Washington is running. In fact, they're also the PR firm for No Hate in Washington State, which is the political action committee that is opposed to the initiative protecting girls' sports and parental rights. And in fact, there's Heather Weiner at the Seattle Storm game holding her No Hate in Washington State sign. So now we've got two very partisan organizations and entities that are very clearly tied to Washingtonians for Ethical Government. And then the individual who is actually filing the complaint on behalf of Washingtonians for Ethical Government is Sammamish City Councilwoman Pam Stewart, who spends her free time at Sammamish Safeways harassing signature gatherers for the Let's Go Washington initiatives. So you have all these people involved who their day jobs are to defeat the Let's Go Washington initiatives. Do you think that any of the media outlets that have reported on this to date have explained who Washingtonians for Ethical Government really is? No, none of the legacy media. They style it as a government watchdog entity. Totally nonpartisan, no big deal. When it's just made up of all of the opponents of the initiatives. So then it explains why they're going after Let's Go Washington, why they're going after me, and why they're trying to hurt our reputations in the court of public opinion. So they don't expect this to stick, but they know that the media is biased enough, the media is lazy enough to just run with months of headlines. I mean, there's really no development in this case beyond they moved it from, you know, the early stages to a formal investigation. But there's been no finding of wrongdoing against us. But now they get a second round of headlines from an uncritical press that won't even reach out to the other side for comment. And meanwhile, we've got, what, 3 months until voters decide on this issue? Not even? And so they're just trying to, and look, good for you guys. In that sense, you used the media well. You used the media well. It worked out great for you. There are going to be people who read those headlines, who watch those videos, and all of a sudden they think, wow, Brandy's shady. Let's go Washington shady. And what am I doing wrong? Exercising my First Amendment rights as a member of the press to speak up for issues I believe in. Now, let's go. Linwood Times wrote a really good, Mario Lotmore, who's the publisher of the Linwood Times, wrote a really good in-depth op-ed about this situation. And he made a lot of good points about the can of worms that this would open up and how it's not just about me. It's not just about, you know, because I'm facing two PDC complaints. They took my press pass away. It's all just so much. And so I want to read just a part of what he points out, because this will be the result. If they get the biased PDC to somehow enter a finding that there was wrongdoing here where there was none. Mario Lotmore writes, newspaper editorial boards that endorse candidates while the paper sells political ads could face new challenges. Just think of the deluge of PDC complaints, especially against the big newspapers who received hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising revenue, yet rarely investigate unethical behavior, or better yet, use their platform to attack competing newspapers for exposing the unethical behavior. Union newsletters, websites, emails, and social media posts urging members to support or oppose ballot measures could suddenly be treated as reportable in-kind contributions. Public sector unions, which routinely communicate with elected members and lobbyists about legislation and initiatives, would confront heavy new compliance burdens and potential liability. And finally, independent journalists, newsletter writers, and YouTubers who monetize their work would operate under constant threat of complaints, something that would expand news deserts in the state and lead to self-censorship. He ends, "Freedom of the press and freedom of speech are not a partisan convenience. It is a constitutional protection in our republic that allows everyone to speak, listen, and decide." The Washington State Supreme Court understood that in 2007, and now the current PDC investigation will test whether Washington's institutions still do. Their outcome will determine whether independent voices will remain free to comment on trending issues, or whether they must first assess the regulatory risk of being caught up in bureaucratic blue tape. And it will be hell on earth for every newspaper in this state, for every blogger in this state, for every independent media outlet in the state, red or blue, I don't care, because here's what I'm going to do. If the PDC, and this is what the PDC should do, frankly. Look, when I left my job at Fox 13 in the fall of 2021, I'm coming up on 5 years since I've been doing Undivided. I had no idea what I was doing. Independent media was still a fairly new concept, especially highly structured independent media like ours is. We produce 4 live shows a week. Another show on Sundays. We do a lot of content. I had no idea what I was doing. This was all foreign to me. I just knew that I wanted to be able to speak freely. I wanted to be able to be more aggressive about some of the policy failures that were happening in the state. But I'm the first to acknowledge, and I've said it on this show many times, independent media is the Wild West. There are so many different types of independent media. And yes, I've said I don't consider myself a journalist because I see that as a very specific title that fit what I did at Fox 13 as an investigative reporter and political reporter for many years. But now I use a different label under the umbrella of the press of political commentator because I'm trying to be intellectually honest and have a more descriptive term for what I do. And they want to use this like a semantics argument, right? Like, oh, she says she's not a journalist. Right, but you don't get a journalist pass. You get a press pass. And I'm a member of the press. It's just the stupidest argument I've ever heard. But look, I understand that for entities like the PDC, for people like House Democrats and the Capitol Correspondents Association, they're also trying to navigate this new world of independent media. And it's confusing. And who's media? Who's not? Who's credible? Who's not? I'm okay if the PDC wants to convene and wants to confront this new world we're living in and to say, look, our understanding of and orthodoxies about the press have changed. So what is acceptable behavior? What's not acceptable behavior? I'm fine with that. But you don't get to use me as a test case in the middle of an election to try to take old rules and outdated rules and apply them to a new situation. Now, again, this has already been ruled on. Now, what, almost 20 years ago? And the same people are trying to do the same thing now that we're in a more hyper-partisan environment, and now that some of these government agencies have become hyper-partisan as well. Will it stick this time? I don't know. But I'm not changing what I'm doing. I was just at a Let's Go Washington event this weekend. I haven't been paid for anything. I've spent my own money on it. I mean, how much money have we spent, Nicole, traveling the state, supporting the initiative, speaking at rallies, doing all these things on our own dime? And then here I have people suggesting that I'm somehow profiting and getting rich. $1.25 million? They dramatically overstate how much we charge for advertising. That I'm getting rich off of speaking about something that I deeply believe in that keeps me up at night? I'm sorry for the swear word, but fuck you. Seriously. And I will overnight, going back to what will happen, I will file and have people help file PDC complaints against the Seattle Times for every single editorial opinion they've ever freaking had. I will do it for every blog. I will do it for every radio host. Democrat, Republican, I don't care. I will take down every major media institution and bog them in legal work going back years. And yes, our friends will be included in this too. My friend Ari Hoffman at KVI. He was with me at Let's Go Washington this weekend. He's spoken at events with me as well. He's done the same things I have. They're not going after him. My friend John Curley over at Cairo Radio, Cairo News Radio, also a place I used to work. Where is your voice in this? Because if they pin this on me, they have to pin it on John Curley. Your best radio show host that you have right now, probably the most lucrative radio host that you have in terms of advertising revenue. If they pin this on me, I'll personally file the PDC complaint against Cairo News Radio and Bonneville International, alleging in-kind contributions by my buddy John Curley. I will personally do it. And if suspicion is enough, the PDC has the power of subpoenas. They can subpoena my records, my personal information, my financials, based off of what? A hunch? A suspicion? Okay, if you say that suspicion is enough to get news entities to open up their books, well, I suspect that the Seattle Times, since it takes advertising revenue from the Washington Education Association, that advertising revenue is actually being used to pay them for favorable reporting. I suspect it. Bring them in, subpoena them, make the Seattle Times open their books. And we'll do the same thing to every single commercial advertiser working in the news sphere. And it will cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of hours in attorney fees, and it will render the PDC essentially useless. Try me. Try me. I will spend every waking hour I have burying the PDC in absolute bullshit over this. And Pam Stewart, in the Washingtonians for Ethical Government, Pam, you are on a razor-thin line of defamation. Razor thin. I will sue you. For one, you take one freaking step over that line of accusing me again of doing something that I have not done. Taking money I have not accepted. Getting handed money behind the scenes. To what? Say men aren't women? Men aren't women. Men aren't women. Men aren't women. Men aren't women. You're on a razor thin line of defamation. We can play their games if we choose to. The thing is that we like to be moral. We like to be ethical. We have stuff to do. I've got a show to put on. We're working ourselves to the bone already. You think I have time to be wrapped up in all this nonsense and the PDC complaint and the lawsuit over our press passes being taken away? And not only that, in the course of 5 months, they took my press pass away. 20 years in news. 20 years in news. And the House Democrats took my press pass away. Two PDC complaints against me, both of them frivolous. My money manager, who happens to be an advertiser on our show, Zach Abraham, the state of Washington is auditing him for the first time in his 11 years in business. And you know what they're asking for? Information about his payments to me. Like they're trying to suggest that somebody is giving him money to give to me to have opinions. People close to me, the government is now, this is an authoritarian takeover. And then throw into the mix Andrea Suarez of We Heart Seattle now being hit with an L&I complaint. I don't think that's related to me, but it's fruit of the same poisonous tree. So we will raise holy hell in this state. We will bury every newsroom in PDC complaints, in legal work, if this is the route they choose to go. And I will be tireless in my pursuit of retribution. But if you think any of this is going to shut me up, no, we're going to speak louder than ever. We're going to tell everyone we can, every opportunity we have, to vote yes to repeal the unconstitutional income tax, Yes to restore parental rights. Yes to keep boys out of girls' sports. We'll travel more than we ever have. I'll speak more than I ever have. And as always, I will do it all for free. Because the First Amendment gives me a right to do so. All right. We gonna lighten the mood coming up next, Nicole? All right, let me get a drink of some tea. Woo-saw, got it. If you're thinking about leaving the state to flee, I don't know, authoritarianism, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes has been doing this for a long time. He's been through all the market ups and downs, and he knows what it takes to get your home sold in an environment like this where there's a lot of competition out there. Holy smokes, there's a lot of homes on the market, so yours has to stand out. So what I would do is I would get opinions from a few real estate agents and make one of them Wes Jones and say, how are you going to do it? How are you going to make my home stand out? Make sure I get top dollar. Wes will first start by giving you a market analysis where he'll just set the stage for you. Like, hey, here's what's happening in your neighborhood specifically. Here's what I can expect. And then he'll go into his listing boost concierge service, which includes pre-inspection. So you're not going to have any surprises at the end, because when he does a pre-inspection, not only does it make the sale easier, but he also identifies any potential issues that might pop up that could either drop the offer for your home or just create problems. So then they go into the listing boost concierge service and their marketing. It's all second to none. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to our segment. Unbelievable. this is kind of in the same vein, actually. I apologize, but I'm about to go on another rant. All right, so the Seahawks have signed a cornerback named Terrion Arnold. Now, Terrion is an odd choice. Why? Well, because he might soon be heading to prison for the rest of his life. So he is facing trial on 8 felony charges over an assault that happened in February, but he was just charged in June. So he was a Detroit Lions player. He was charged with attacks against 3 people in Florida. This is from the AP. NFL player Terrion Arnold of the Detroit Lions was charged Thursday in Florida with leading a plot to detain and pistol whip 3 people whom he believed had stolen luxury goods and $100,000 in cash from him. It turned out that the 3, including Arnold's personal driver, had nothing to do with the theft. 3 men in their late teens were held at gunpoint, battered, pistol-whipped, and robbed in a Tampa apartment on February 4th. It was 3 days after Louis Vuitton bags and shoes, Rolex watches, a Bible, cash, and more were reported stolen from Arnold at an Airbnb rental in Largo, about 20 minutes west. I love that he gets a Bible stolen. So his response to having his Bible stolen is to allegedly hold 3 people at gunpoint, batter them, and pistol-whip them. Not very biblical, if you ask me. So he faces 8 felonies. The potential is life in prison if he's convicted and gets the maximum. So obviously, he's not playing for the Detroit Lions anymore, but the Seattle Seahawks thought, gee, we could use a cornerback. Let's sign him. Here's Seahawks coach Mike McDonald.
It was an opportunity to bring on a player that we felt strongly about during the draft process. And we also understand that it's a serious situation with a legal matter that's, you know, there's a process behind it. So we respect that. We feel really strongly about our locker room and our team. And we had a great visit with Terrion. And obviously, we knew him going throughout the process. And I referenced the folks that have been in his corner throughout the whole process as well. And, you know, we respect those people. We're not going to ignore those folks that we really respect and have a strong opinion about it as well. So kind of when you put all those things together, it felt like it was a good opportunity for the team.
Okay, here's the thing. Innocent until proven guilty, right? Innocent until proven guilty. And I'm not talking about somebody who's going to be elected to public office or I'm going to hire to babysit my kids or my dog. It's a football player, okay? So frankly, he hasn't been convicted. It's like, I don't care. If you want to throw him in at cornerback for a few games, what's the big deal? Here's the problem I have. Our friend, the late Dory Monson, was fired by the Seahawks. Fired by the Seahawks. For the pre- and post-game show. For saying that you can't change your gender. That's all. You can't. The state lets us change gender on our birth certificates. That's stupid. He was fired by them. but it's okay to hire someone who is going to be going to trial on 8 felonies and could spend the rest of their life in prison. That's the problem I have with it. You have these people and these teams who acted so sanctimonious in 2020 about all of these things, canceling people who for wrong speak, for thinking the wrong thing. But you can, like, tie up 3 teens, pistol whip them, beat them, rob them. And it's like, yeah, we'll sign you at cornerback. It makes no sense. And it angers me deeply. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll, do you agree with the decision of the Seahawks to sign Terrion Arnold? Nicole, hit me with it.
You know, I kind of went back and forth because of the innocent until proven guilty thing. Right. And he's obviously got some people that are telling others,
the Seahawks. What, his mom?
Well, right. That they don't believe that these charges will hold up. However, I'm going to say that regardless, he surrounded himself with people that are willing to do it. So he probably has some culpability to some extent in that, right?
Right. Because well, it was his stuff that was stolen.
It was clearly his stuff that was stolen. Somebody was getting revenge either for him directly or indirectly, whether he implied, I'd like to kick these people's asses, or if he actually said, kick these people's asses. There's something there. You've surrounded yourself with people willing to do that kind of crime. So I don't like it.
Well, and also, like, okay, so what kind of crimes are acceptable? Like, if you've got someone who's charged with rape, I thought that was like a non-starter, you know? What is it? I thought that it used to be like, if you got a DUI, you were off the team.
Right.
So they're just all over the map. So if they, you know, if it was innocent until proven guilty and we'll let anyone play.
But consistent.
It's the Dory thing that just angers me because clearly, you know, oh, you can fire someone over wrong think, which is really right think and just biology. But this guy. So that's why I say no, because there's no consistency.
You know who I'm convinced is responsible for the Dory thing that is no longer there is Pete Carroll. So I don't know. Interesting.
Well, that's why I'm like, I'm never cheering for the Seahawks. I don't care. That's just like everyone's guilty to me until there's an apology. Let's see what you guys said. I said, do you agree with this choice? 80% of you. No, I don't. Mary says, well, so long as there's a stipulation that he gets nothing if convicted, I agree. Isn't he innocent until proven guilty?
Technically, even if he is not, like, because this could take a while, right? Before he's gone to trial, I guess, the NFL could decide that he is not allowed to play. So the Seahawks, even if he, this is up to the NFL right now. So it won't conclude. Obviously, the trial would not conclude by the start of the season. So it's up to the NFL regardless.
Yeah, a lot of you saying, Paul, Steve, the man is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, not in the court of public opinion. Innocent until proven guilty. Until then, don't judge. And I do get that. But also, you're talking about role models for kids, too.
Right.
So, and there's a isn't there kind of a liability issue if he's accused of doing that? Do you want him around your other players and the culture of the team? Mountain Mama says, no way. Why waste money training him, teaching him plays, putting him in place and getting comfortable with the team when he's going to go away?
And distracted, like you could be finding somebody else that could do that role.
Yeah. Let's do a couple here from locals. Annette had no idea this was happening until this poll. So much for good, wholesome sports role models. Seahawks need to do better on their pick. Just let felonies become more socially acceptable. Yeah. It's a tough one. I think had it not been for their hypocrisy of the past, then maybe I wouldn't care. Cause I'm like, whatever, you know, he needs to practice roughing people up before he goes to prison or he's not going to survive. So, but I don't know. It's just absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Should we do a little double dose of unbelievable?
Sure thing.
Let's do it. Dun, 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 dun. All right. The verdict is in. Washington State Representative Tara Simmons has been found guilty of ethics violations. Tara Simmons, of course, is the first formerly incarcerated person to be elected to the state house in Washington and then gets, you know, an ethics violation. She gets a $15,000 fine. She says she plans to appeal. Here is Tara Simmons back in during the hearing in June, getting very emotional about the whole ordeal.
Had a really rough life. And so the fact that I'm even here is really, I'm the first in the nation who's been incarcerated, who became a state representative. And that's why I take this very seriously. I think that I bring a lot of, you know, something that's missing that has been missing here. And I'm able to help my colleagues understand the barriers of, like, people who have come from, you know, different kinds of system involvement.
That's her emotional support dog, by the way. That's fine. I think your background's great, you know, like, turned your life around. That doesn't mean you get to violate ethics laws and get a free pass over it. So just some reminders on the case. This is from the State Standard. The two violations are related to a $1 million grant Simmons helped secure in 2024 to support an expansion of a public dashboard of criminal justice data created by the American Equity and Justice Group. The group was required to subcontract half of the work with a nonprofit organization that advocates for equity in technology and education to provide the public with data on social determinants that impact educational outcomes. The only qualifying subcontractor for that very specific description was the Equity in Education Coalition, which Simmons was employed as the director of strategy for from December 2023 through January of 2025. And then there's this whole ordeal about a friend, maybe a lover, we don't really know. It says, lastly, the board ruled Simmons violated the ethics laws by asking Anthony Powers, a friend and the leader of the American Equity and Justice Group, to rein in Kim Gordon, an employee and board member with a nonprofit who filed the complaint against the lawmaker. So maybe a little bit of a retaliation thing. She says she is going to appeal this finding to the Thurston County Superior Court, where she can, quote, finally be heard by a non-political entity lacking any personal interest in the outcome of her case, and where the repeated violations of her due process rights will finally be heard. Yes, if we know anything about Thurston County Superior Court, it's that it is totally a non-political entity. Good luck with that, Tara. All right, we'll get to national news coming up next. First, if you are thinking about getting a second opinion on your retirement portfolio and your investments, reach out to our friend Zach Abraham of Bulwark Capital. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com, and just ask for a free portfolio review. Say, hey, Brandy sent me. I want just a second opinion on my retirement portfolio. I'm worried about, maybe it's AI, maybe it's tech, maybe it's what's happening with energy, etc. So why not get a second opinion on such an important thing as your retirement and whether you're going to be properly prepared for retirement? Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. It's great to see Zach this weekend at the Let's Go Washington event. He was on the panel for against the income tax, in favor of the income tax repeal. So unlike other wealth management firms, you can get market updates every day from Zach on his Know Your Risk podcast, YouTube channel, all over social media. Just search Know Your Risk podcast. All right, so the movement that started right here in Seattle has continued nationwide with pro-Sophie Cunningham rallies at Fever games across the country. There was one in Atlanta last night that this Atlanta mom and daughter attended in their XXXY gear. Yeah, so the daughter's shirt just said XX, which of course are the chromosomes for a woman, because if there's a Y, it's a guy, right? XXXY. So they were sitting, not front row, but just a couple rows back on the floor. And at some point, they were made to cover their t-shirts up. Yeah, some security guard comes over, and I saw the video on it of ESPN. Security guard comes over, hands them these, like, it was some sort of night they were having. Like, they were having some theme night.
Right.
So like they brought them, like, these shirts for the theme night and said, either you have to leave or you have to put these shirts on. So they didn't want to leave, so they put the shirts on. Now, people have pointed out that there was this individual right behind the scorekeeper wearing a Trans Kids Belong in Sports shirt. Now, to be fair, from what I'm hearing, after the mom and daughter were forced to wear a different t-shirt, I believe security also spoke to the Trans Kids Belong in Sports person. But that's after they'd been on the Jumbotron. They put that person, that's a picture of them, on the Jumbotron. So they were like, oh, absolutely, giving this person love for their Trans Kids Belong in Sports shirt. And so I feel like maybe after those ladies were told they had to cover up, there was sort of a complaint, well, what about them? And so they're like, okay, to be fair, you have to cover up too. Here's the mom and daughter doing an interview outside the stadium.
We were made to cover up our XXXY shirts at this game.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
They gave us shirts.
They gave us t-shirts
I threw mine.
During overtime and told us we had to leave.
And this is for the girls.
Or cover our shirts. This just happened.
Where were you sitting?
Floor.
4-3 row.
C.
Yeah.
Third row of floor yes! 3.
And how much were your seats?
$1,000 each around. Yeah.
Why was it important for you to be here
to
today?
To support Sophie Cunningham and to support women and women's sports, because it's just common sense.
And what's the relation here?
That's my daughter.
And are you an athlete?
I used to be until I had a bunch of knee surgery.
What sport?
I did all sorts here. I did soccer. I did all of them.
Yes.
And did this issue ever come up? Like, did a biological man ever try to play against?
No. We're from here, so it hasn't happened here.
A lot.
But I can't believe that just happened in shocking. Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, because they said it was offensive. Chromosomes are offensive? And especially the daughter's shirt. It didn't even have the, like, save women's sports or anything. It said, for the girls. Have we lost our minds? And did you notice during that video, the women in the background flipping them the bird? Women. Women. Like, what happened to lifting women up? What happened to women's rights? It is the white, weird, progressive women who have gone off the deep end who are making this a thing still. And it's like, you guys didn't learn your lesson after Donald Trump won the 2024 election? Kamala's for they, them. Trump's for you. I mean, that was like the best political ad in the history of the world. People are fed up with this stuff, but you're just like double and tripling down. And it's outrageous to me, the hate that some of these girls go through. And again, I gotta sit down with the girls on stage at Freedom Fest over the weekend, Sadie Sullivan, Annalie Wilson, Frances Stout. And I'm just listening to them talk about what they've been through. And I believe Let's Go Washington recorded the event. And so we'll try to get some video out there. But, you know, we're sitting down on this panel and just talking about the hate and vitriol, death threats, very sexual, disgusting things said to these young women for just saying, hey, we just want what was promised by Title IX. That's it. We're not asking for very much. All right. Do I want to get to this story? Sure, I will. I'm so sick of our state suing the federal government. Like, I'm so sick of it. You know how much money we could save as a state if they would just pick and choose? I'm not saying they never have to sue. Look, the federal government is going to do things at times that do actually interfere substantially with our state. Especially when it comes to funding, I don't mind. Like, fine, that's going to happen. You know, and Ferguson had sued Obama once. He always talks about that. I sued Obama. Yeah, like twice. And then you sued Trump like a bajillion times. But it happens. So now Attorney General Nick Brown is suing the federal government because he wants to keep hiding information about commercial drivers here. So this stems to this whole issue of illegal aliens being given CDLs and, you know, not passing language tests and all this stuff. And the problem is that, look, these people are driving across the country. You might want them here in Washington State driving their big rigs around, but we're talking about the Federal Department of Transportation and the ability to know who's on the roadways of America. And Nick Brown says that the feds have, quote, no legitimate need to take over the state database or state records, because they've threatened, basically, the federal government has threatened to terminate like $10 million in federal funding to the American Association of Motor Vehicles if states refuse, like, to hand over information. And so they're refusing. They say there's no legitimate need for the federal government to have this information. Wow. I can think of, like, at least 3 legitimate reasons for the state to hand over this information. How about the illegal alien who killed a father and a husband on State Route 167 in Auburn last December? How about the illegal alien from India who pled guilty to 3 counts of vehicular manslaughter with gross negligence for causing an 8-vehicle crash in October of 2025? How about Harjinder Singh, the truck driver who did a big old flip around on the Florida Turnpike and killed 3 people, which is the crash that got this whole debate started in the first place? So yeah, that's what the Trump administration is trying to protect against. This is not controversial. These people drive massive rigs all across the country. There has to be some parity in their qualifications. They have to be citizens. They have to meet basic standards of English and being able to understand signs, because people are dying. And Nick Brown says, no, we're going to sue you over that because there's no legitimate reason that you need this information from our state. It's outrageous. And we know that the Trump administration has been cracking down on this issue. This isn't one of the empty threats things. They've shut down a bunch of driving schools that weren't putting CDL applicants through the proper procedures, et cetera, like incomplete assessments, basically just rubber stamping. Yep, you get a CDL, you get a CDL, you get a CDL. So it's just outrageous the things our state will sue over. All right, we will get two comments from the live stream coming up next. My blood pressure has come down ever so slightly. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers and fighting for private property rights, which are under attack constantly in Washington state. There's some big cases going on in that regard. We're waiting for rulings on that RHA has been involved in. And then every day, a city is coming up with just another way to make the lives of landlords miserable, like requiring that overnight they install air conditioning units in like every single property that they own at their own personal cost, or, you know, getting rid of so-called junk fees like the city of Seattle did. So you really need someone in your corner if you are doing the landlord housing provider thing in our state, and that is RHA. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. All right, Nicole, you want to join me for comments? I wish you could see the look on Nicole's face when I'm screaming occasionally, which is rare.
I try not to react too much, though.
She's like, Jesus, Brandy. Bride.
Here we go.
Take a deep breath.
No, it was called for. Mm-hmm. I can't believe nobody reached out for comment.
Right. You have my phone number. Use it. The comment I probably would have given is F you. Old Sub Sailor, $50 super chat. Happy Monday, cruisers. Thank you. We appreciate that. On the state investigating We Heart Seattle, Nicole.
That Lockman says the irony that the government is handing out needles and foil and perpetuating littering, and they are not even willing to go clean it up and volunteer service needs to.
Yep. And then the volunteer service will get investigated by the state for how it cleans it up.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you guys. West Coast Warriors, obviously the proper way to handle needles is to leave them for kids to find embedded in their shoes. Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. Then that would be fine. And you know what?
Gross.
It's not as if, so like Elle and I, you know, basically, if you really have dangerous workplace conditions, sometimes it's good to get an Elle and I complaint, because then you're not going to get sued because somebody gets hurt or something, and that would be even more disastrous. But it's not as if you can sue the city or the state. If your kid gets stuck with a needle in the park, how are you going to prove where the needle came from and who did it? So it's like,
You should be able to.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but it's just outrageous.
JB says, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to arrest the volunteers for possessing drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, exactly. On the lawfare against us, we got a lot of super chats. I always appreciate that. Crafty Grandma Crispy says, for the F the media and PDC fund. Girl, as you become more effective, the attacks will increase in intensity. Take heart. You are over the target. Keep shining the light on all their SHIT. We love you. Appreciate that.
I'm just going to call him Goo Mug. Joe Jack, $59.99. You're amazing.
That's so nice. Matthew Cook, for the brandy, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And F the local media fund. Diana, yeah. Nicole, take brandy out for a stiff drink fund.
Okay, deal.
Great.
Bonnie says, go get him, brandy.
Mia, $10, no comment, just support. Pat Caldwell, influencer is nothing more than attempts to minimize legitimate ethical reporting. Yeah, nothing will piss me off more than the media calling me an influencer.
It's the language that they were using in the press release.
Right, they just took the press release from this left-wing entity. Language. And yeah, that's all in the
Necro Two Shoes says, strangely, her, Heather Wiener, last name signifies the difference between a man and a woman.
Yes, let me tell you, Heather Wiener, how to tell the difference. On the Seahawks signing the player facing life in prison, No Way says, I mean, the NFL hires people charged with DV and other crimes. Why would this choice be any different?
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
Tanya says, the Hawks are desperate because of the potential of millionaires being taxed.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They'll take whoever wants to come here, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. All right, Nicole, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll get to our closing sanity check. Usually I don't like Trump being rude to the media, because I do try to defend, in general, the treatment of the media at the hands of politicians. However, today, I have a particular distaste for the legacy media, so, Mr. President, have at it.
Yes, Mr. President. Yes. Mr. President.
Quiet, quiet, quiet. You're very disrespectful in front of this young man, okay? Don't you find her disrespectful? He understands. Quiet. Who are you with?
I'm with CNN.
Fake news. You're fake news. You're loud. You're a loud, boisterous person. You're fake news. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. You're a fake reporter, and you report fake news. Go ahead.
Mr. President, is there enough food on the USS Lincoln?
Yeah, it is. That was a CNN fake report.
You know what? That makes me feel better, honestly. That has been our closing sanity check. We have to laugh so we don't cry and give up. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. If you'd like to support our show, you can do that for just $5 a month. We would appreciate it. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Just click on the banner that says support the show. And that's it. That's all it takes. And then you can be like, yeah, I'm a subscriber to Undivided. Join a growing team of sane people trying to take back the state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, I appreciate all of you more than you may ever know. See you tomorrow.